Now is your time to flex.
What up, everybody, and welcome back to the 13th floor, where the furniture isn't always the best, but the views are amazing. This podcast is being brought to you by Fledgeology, the motivational speaking and life coaching company that is committed to exposing you to the potential of your dreams by getting you to embrace your fears so that you can get out of your comfort zone and on to living an extraordinary purpose-driven life. Of course, as always, I'm your host, B. Jones, the moderator, and today I am joined by a few of the team, not everybody like last week, but we got T.I. the intern. What's happening?
What's going on, y'all?
We got Mike D. in the background. What's going on?
What it do, families?
Mr. Positivity, Faison, the CMO.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome, welcome.
And the prolific one himself, Carol Cadayo.
Don't stop. Get it. Don't stop. Rock with it.
What's that, like your old school hip-hop of the day? Like,
man, that is the Hall of Famer to be. Luther Campbell, Uncle Luke.
Oh yeah, man! Shout out Uncle Luke, huh?
He's going to Hall of Fame.
Nah, I just made that up. But
that's the Miami in it. Okay, 305.
I'm sure one day it could happen.
He might be in the city's Hall of Fame for all the good work he do around the city. But as far as music is concerned, I don't know. Kind of questionable that.
Well, he did a lot of music. He was, you know, the first one to try to get banned, and you know, he really brought in the advisory label was because of him. So he did a lot of music. He's definitely been a pioneer.
Yeah, he absolutely changed the music industry. Like his court case. I don't know if you all know, but he actually went to the Supreme Court for the censorship of their music and won the case.
Really?
So.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. Band in the USA video. Band in the USA. Yeah, I can't say anymore. I pay for it, but that's all I can say.
You're a pioneer when they got to change the rules for you.
Yep.
Easy. I had no idea Uncle Luke was doing it like that. But anyway, man, so it's been about a week since we recorded, man, and it's been a lot going on in the world. You know, you had the Oscars. I didn't watch the Oscars. Did any of y'all catch it?
Oh man, watch it live. It was horrendous. That last 5 seconds, see the faces on the guys. You know, so let's. I watched it, and I was watching it. You know, me and Carol were together. We were talking, and Carol had to walk away for a little bit. But I decided to just keep watching and see the last. You know, the biggest award night. Gotta see what happens. So I watched it happen. I watched Faye stumble over the words, and everyone's blaming Dick Tracy. I'm gonna call him Dick Tracy because that's who I remember him as, Warren Beatty. But Dick Tracy, I remember him as in yellow suit. So he looked at it like, no, this isn't something not right. And Faye, you know, just like, whatever, La Land. And she just threw it out there, and he's like, okay. But then a couple seconds later, if you look at it, you can see all the guys in like the suits with headsets on running around like crazy people. And I was looking like, yo, is something wrong? Is something happening? And then you see like the face. Some people were just shocked and appalled that they were up there boasting and bragging and cheering and high-fiving and crying, turned into like immediate shock and like stomach dropping. And it was just crazy to see it live. You had to see it live.
So I almost wonder if, because the Oscar ratings have been dropping year after year. So I almost wonder, what were the ratings for Miss Universe this year after Steve Harvey had messed up last year? Everybody was going to have him hosting again. So in order to drive ratings for next year, they have this fiasco at the end and it's driving all this hoopla with all these people. So it'd be very interesting to see what happens with Oscar ratings next year because of what happened at the end this year.
Yeah, man, I heard that they did a whole lot around like similar stuff. So like maybe that was something that they planned, but nobody else knew. So the producers were like, all right, we're going to throw this in here just to, you know, like you say, maybe boost the ratings. But then they also had a random tour bus group or something just show up at the Oscars. And they,
that was funny.
Right. So, yeah.
Yeah, man. So, hey, I don't know. We'll see. It'll be interesting, and I think who is it that handles the voting? Is it Price Waterhouse? Whatever firm handles the ballots and the winners and everything, they were under investigation. So, you know, it's a whole lot of stuff that all of a sudden has died down. It's only 7 days later, and you don't hear anything about it.
So this is a hypothetical situation. This is something crazy I saw because I don't watch TV, so I don't get a lot of my news, you know, from television. So I, an article or something came across my phone, and it was talking about Oprah for president in 2020. Anybody else see that?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw the little clip where she was like, she was talking, and I think, well, you know, before I thought I had to have some kind of, you know, government experience and so, and now I'm just like, oh. So all she kept saying was, oh. So her slogan might be, you know, maybe, oh.
Oh, 2020, right? I thought that was crazy, but it's like, you know, with Donald Trump being the president now, him just opening, you know, that door. What if we actually do get another celebrity president? Because we already heard from Kanye talking about he's going to be out there. You got the Mark Wahlbergs of the world, and then Oprah, who is actually very influential, you know, in, I guess she was influential in Barack Obama's political run. She does a whole lot in the community as well as abroad. So what if she was actually the next president?
It will be funny. The other name you got to throw in there is Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I have heard. So, listen, man, I think we've been programming people for this type of thing forever. If you look at how many times Morgan Freeman has been the president, or Morgan Freeman has been God. If you look at all the reality TV shows, it's only a matter of time. You know,
make Morgan Freeman the president then.
That's what I think. Make Morgan Freeman or the dude from the Allstate commercials.
Yes,
voice. Oh, yep.
But yeah, either him or Jack Bauer. Jack Bauer, just get over here.
Yeah, just get Jack Bauer. I bet you we never go to war.
Ain't that a dude from 2020?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kiefer. Is that Kiefer Sutherland? Which one is that?
Yeah, that's right.
Kiefer, one of those.
Kiefer Sutherland, yeah.
Gotcha.
From the Lost Boys.
Who?
No, from the Lost Boys.
The rap group?
No, are you serious?
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
Oh. The host of the host. We got to get you out. You consistently.
Yeah.
Show your age every time you talk.
Hey, man, it is what it is.
You said you show your age every time you talk.
What are we talking about? The Lost Boys? What are we talking about?
The Lost Boys was a movie. It was actually one of the first pop culture vampire movies.
Jay, you and he, like was, you was
he was the lead antagonist.
That
he don't know what we're talking about either.
Easy. See, that's why we brought Jay onto the team, man, because, you know, you're surrounded by all this wisdom and everything. Sometimes I feel like they try to gang up on me. So now it's somebody else who knows, who has no idea what y'all are talking about, showing your age.
We're about to have to give you guys a movie list of right? things to watch.
We got homework now.
Yeah.
Easy, man. You know, last week we were on the show and we broke down I'm the One as our theme for 2017. And, you know, last week, Mike, he said something in the podcast, and I think it kind of got glossed over, you know, really quickly because we were so into the conversation and we talked about, you know, all of the things centered around I'm the One. But he said something that I thought was very, very important when he said, listen to your life. And that's really what I want to get into today because it's something so simple, but I think there are a array of different ways that we kind of overlook, you know, listening to your life. And even going back to the Oscars, because, you know, Viola Davis, congratulations to her. She did an amazing job. She's an amazing actress. I don't think there is an actress out that can cry like she does. If y'all saw Fences and, you know, that scene that she had with Denzel when they first found out, you know, about the baby and everything, like, it was crazy. You know, the amount of emotion. It's like, where do you pull that sort of emotion and talent from? But congratulations to her for winning the Best Actress. But
I haven't seen Fences yet, but it's not just Fences. I've seen other movies that she's been in where she's able to command that crying emotion. And man, I mean, she gets into the ugly cry real easy.
And I mean, it was bad.
That's the cry.
It was bad.
It's like, terrible. I mean,
you know, like that 2-year-old.
Snot bubbles.
Yes, everything. It was crazy. Like, where do you get this amount of emotion from? That just shows you how good she is at her craft. But, you know, being.
But not only that, it shows you the things that she's gone through in her life without her actually telling you what she's been through in her life, because you have to be able to channel personal experience to get to that point.
Right. And that was one of the things that I was going to try to, I was tying into the Listen to Your Life, because she's listening or channeling all of those emotions to let it come out on screen, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there are actors or actresses that have to, there's two different formats. I know one is method acting, and then I can't remember the name of the other one, but one is where you have to go immerse yourself into people that embody those type of characteristics, right? And then there's another one where you are able to channel what you have within to bring that character to life, and you don't have to go, you know, immerse yourself into that. So for instance, there are actors that have had to play drug dealers that they've actually went and hung out with addicts in order to learn the characteristics, you know, the movements, the emotions. But with Viola Davis, it's very clear that, hey, you've come through some things in your life and you're able to put that into these characters that you're portraying. And man, I mean, just talk about a skill set. And you're able to listen to your life. You've learned from your life, and now you can actually review and recap and use those things to be great.
Right. So like that's what I wanted to focus on, that listening to your life and then channeling what you're hearing, what's coming in, to actually go and be great or be successful, to make that leap. Because, you know, when you listen to your life, life ultimately is an array of choices, right? And everything that life is going to throw at you is going to be based upon the choices you make. So like, just like we said, I'm the one, you're the one making those choices every day in life. So when, you know, you decide to do, you know, to you know, not listen to your partner, you know, in your relationship or whatever, that begets so many other things down the road.
Yeah, but what I want to do is, you're talking about listening to your partner, but I think some people aren't listening to themselves. You aren't even listening to your own life, to the things that your inner voice is telling you. Yeah. And I think part of the problem is right now is that there are so many external influences. Before social media, you know, you always had the voice of your parents, your friends, your peers, your boss, whoever, that's always affecting you being able to listen to what your life is telling you. And then now with the, you know, the prominence of social media and Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and all these things, you have more things that are even putting more influence on that internal voice and that are affecting what it is that you're doing with your life.
Agreed. Yeah, it's the thought process that I've always done is that little voice says in make believe. I mean, it's your inner self telling you what's right, what's wrong. Everybody has it. It affects your gut. The only person that can hear it is you. I've always talked to like kids that I've worked with or people that I've just had conversations with. Like, you listen to it because ultimately it's going to lead you right. It's almost like as if God is talking to you in your head. And if you ignore it, you got repercussions, but you kind of feel that as it's coming about. And then the second part of that I've always thought of is like almost like life is kind of like Mario Brothers. It's like you're going through the game, you would just jump, and it would be like, seem like nothing would be in the air, and all of a sudden it's like this imaginary box. And you just start hitting it, you start getting points, you kind of go through your thing. But everything along the path that you go, you may not know where the treasures are. You may not know what things are supposed to steer you in a positive direction, giving you light. But if you really focus, if you stay quiet in the midst of something that you're not prepared to receive that information, you will get your gems, you will get your jewels, you will get those things that are guiding you to where you're supposed to go. And it's not deja vu, it's just something completely different. You in your mind are thinking about something to move forward. You go to the grocery store, you have a conversation with a person, and in their comments, they give you that inner voice or that inner thought or something that they're speaking to you about. It's like, you know what? Thank you for that. You had no idea what I was going through, but I appreciate your comments. And those are things that happen to let you know you're going on the right path, you're going in the right direction.
You know, I think that's great that you use the Mar Brothers analogy. And I want to go a little deeper into that, because just as much as you find things on your own, you become better when, you know, those people who've done it before show you the way, and it makes it easier for you. So you can struggle for so much time trying to get past a certain level, and this level could be, you know, anything in life. But when someone shows you, oh, you got to, you know, run from here and, you know, press B a little earlier, and you get over that hump. You're like, wow, that made it much easier. Sometimes that inner voice is just from someone else helping you on the way and being mentored or being, you know, being directed and following, like, or listening to what being told to you so you can hear it instead of just making your own path without, you know, supporting.
So I can't believe that y'all are going to make me jump into this Mario Brothers.
That's a great analogy, man. I love Mario Brothers.
And y'all, you guys have now messed up a lot of people's life soundtrack, because people are going to be walking outside after they listen to this, and all they're going to hear is a little song, right? But let's take it a little bit deeper. Right? So in the spirit of I'm the One, here's the thing. So when you look at Mario or Luigi or whoever you were using as your character to go through the game, the majority of the game did not involve the direction of other people. There were certain benchmarks once you reached to the end of a level where you had a check-in with somebody that was giving you some advice on the next level, right? So predominantly, their own intuition is what led them through the majority of the game. And then you just had supplemental guidance from other people. But your predominant voice was, hey, I need to save the princess. These are the things that I'm going to do. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to get it done. So it was that internal driving voice, desire, their moral compass that was leading them to do that. Because I can tell you, me personally, if I was in the kingdom with a princess, there's a whole lot more people that I'd be like, hey, why I got to go save her, or why I got to go by myself? The whole kingdom is in jeopardy. So, you know, but don't get me wrong. I get it. You know, they loved her or whatever, hey man, you know,
Another way. I'm like, why do I need this princess? What about all of the other princesses in Mario Land or something? Like, I don't understand. She can't be that important.
But you know what? But that's good, Brett, because guess what? So going back to the internet and Facebook and social media, that's part of what has people confused at this point, because you think you have all these options, right? So why should I go after this one thing when I have all these other possibilities that I could do, right? And one of the things that stands out to me is that you see people, and no jabs at anybody on this call or this podcast, but you see people saying all the time, go out and be great, right? Without any further direction, what are you going out and being great at? Am I going out and being great at driving? Am I going out and being great at breathing? What am I going out and being great at? And that's the thing where it comes back to I'm the One, because you have to look at yourself internally and figure out what is that thing that you're going to be great at. You're not going to be great at everything. There are certain gifts that you have that give you a unique advantage to being great in this one, and I'll even say two particular things. There's some other things that you might just do better than average. So if you really want to get to that life, feel like your life is being validated by yourself, not other people, and that your life is, you're living your ultimate purpose, find those one or two things that you are going to be great at, that there's probably maybe four other people that you'll ever come into contact with that might be able to do it at the level that you're doing.
Yeah, man, and we're going to talk about that validation piece a little bit also. But I have a question. What about the person whose external experiences shape so much of what they are listening to on the inside? So, you know, they get, you know, whether it's their environment, the people that they're around, that's what's shaping what they're listening to. And they, it might be a small spark on the inside that is telling them or saying, hey, this might not, this isn't really what I want to do. But they have so much on the outside that is like pressure or drive or push in the opposite direction of what their life may be trying to tell them to go into.
I think that, and that's what I wanted to touch on actually, because I think that when you, a lot of people don't listen to that voice because they don't know who they are, and they don't know if it's their voice or if it's another person's voice that they heard from the past, or they don't know if it's their dad's or their sister's voice, something like that. So I think when you take time to reflect on who you are as an individual and get to know self, because so many times we start off as who we are, but as we go through life, I think I heard it explained one way that, you know, different things get piled on top of ourselves, and we have to take the time to remove those different things and get back to our true selves. And when we do that, it'll be a lot easier to actually listen to that still voice within and know that it's coming from you as opposed to who else, whoever else it may be coming from.
That's a great point, Jay. And one of the things I think prevents people from getting to know themselves is people don't like quiet time. You know, a lot of people encourage things like, you know, you always hear people talk about meditation and finding that time where there's no noise around you, there's nothing else going on, where it's just you. And that's your opportunity to calibrate with that inner voice. And I think that's why people that do practice meditation do find great levels of success. I'd venture to say greater levels of success than those of us that don't take that time to just isolate yourself with that inner voice. It really gets to give you a chance to focus. And I know for me, meditation is always something that I've said, hey, I want to start practicing. I want to do, I always say I'm going to get up early in the morning, you know, just go in my office and light a candle and just sit there, you know, quiet. And it doesn't have to be for, you know, an hour, you know, take 5 minutes, 10 minutes of, you know, just listening to your breathing. That's one of the techniques that they use, is listening to your breathing. And hopefully that inner voice becomes a lot clearer. But to be honest, I think there are a lot of people that are scared of that internal voice, because that internal voice is holding you to a level of accountability and has it. It's already on the inside. So it's not something that, you know, like other people, you have to let it in. It's already on the inside. So whatever that inner voice is telling you is hitting you so much to heart that some people don't even want to deal with it. And that's why you hear people that say, oh, I always have to have background noise. I have to have something going on. Even when I go to sleep at night, I got to turn the TV on because I can't deal with the silence. And it's like, hey, there's a fear of something there. And if there's anybody out there that's in that boat, I challenge you to figure out what that fear is. What is it that scares you about silence? Is it getting to know who you are? Is it you that you're scared of? What's going on?
Right, man. It was a couple of things, man. You hit a lot of nails right on the head, or points that I was going to point out. So it's really, it all goes back to self-reflection. You know, when we're talking about I'm the One, and even listening to yourself, you have to take that time. And we talk about that all the time. But the embracing that fear portion is also very critical. Like you said, if you're scared, or if people are scared to get to know themselves, like getting to know yourself is the foundation of almost anything you will do in life, especially when it comes to forming meaningful relationships. So that time where you have to listen to yourself breathe, or listen to yourself think, that time is what's going to help drown out some of that external noise or pressure. And, you know, I know at times we all feel like, or I know I feel like, you know, I'm my own worst critic, but that's not such a bad thing. You know, when you're telling yourself, or you know that you aren't living up to your potential, or you know that you didn't complete a project to its best, to your best ability, knowing that should be the motivating factor to do better in the future. And a lot of people, I feel like instead of listening to that voice, they just fake it, you know, because the outside world, you can get a lot of congratulations. You can get a lot of support from the outside world just based on what you portray. And if you portray the demeanor of, yeah, I'm successful, whether it's on social media or in real life, if you walk through life with your head high and a smile on your face and everything, and you give to the outside world what is exceptional work, but to you, your own self, know that it's mediocre at best, that's what they're going to, you know, have to go off of. So don't let that external pressure, whether it be positive or negative, kind of guide you. You know, listen to your light on the inside.
I think that gets back to Kara's point about, we were talking about last podcast about fake it till you make it. And some people get to a point where you faked it for so long, you forgot who you are. And then now when you're having those internal conversations in that silent moment, it's a conflict, and you're having a conflict with yourself, and it's scary. Because you internally, it's like, you know you're not supposed to be going this way with your life. You know you're not supposed to be doing these things. Even like we talked about with New Year's resolution. Like in January, like Art said, everybody in the gym, and then eventually you get quiet. It's like, look, man, you can't keep going to the gym. You're going to keep piling these cupcakes. So people at some point in time, they can't give up the cupcake. And it causes them for the rest of the year to have turmoil, to where once it gets to the end of the year, they go back to the same thing. Like, you know what? I'm going to change next year. It's not about that. It's about being silent. And it's a lot of things that happen in the quiet. And sometimes it's just scary for people. It's scary.
And you almost got to wonder, like, there was a different type of creative energy. Like, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of creative stuff that goes on now, especially with technology. But before there was technology, there was still a lot of things that were being invented and created. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of things that are happening now are just improvements on what was thought of in the past. Right. And you almost have to wonder, like, because TV went off at a certain hour and the radio went off at a certain time and people didn't really have phone access and whatnot, did that give them the time to think of these things and to come up with all these great ideas? And is that what's kind of holding us back from making that next advancement? Is that why we don't have flying cars? You know what I mean? Is that why we don't have, you know, three little things that look like green peas and the Jetsons, and that's your whole meal? You know, is that why we haven't reached that point yet? Because we don't have enough time to actually just sit there and get in tune with all these things that are inside of us and find a way to let them out.
Yeah, I agree. I had a trainer one time, when the trainer said that the aha moment happens when you get quiet.
Yeah.
And for people not to get quiet, it means there's no aha moment. You're constantly in stimulation, and something else is just driving your thoughts. You got to get to a point where you got to let it come to you. And it's hard for people to step back, because just like we said, like, we're in a right now world. So people think, all right, I got to come up with the decision right now, instead of, you know, like we were talking about earlier with our grandparents, like my grandmother will always say, let me sleep on it. And I'm like, what? Like, we me? Like, what are you? And it would freak me out. And then she would just walk away. She wouldn't say anything for her. And the next day she would come back and it would be a different conversation. She had thought through it. She had thought through the pros and cons. She would ask a whole series of questions. She was calmer. She felt more comfortable about the situation. And that's kind of where, as a society, we've lost. Even my kids, like, it gets to a point where I'm like, you know what? Everybody get off the technology. Give me your phone, just so you can learn how to interact around people. Because you don't talk to people and have conversations anymore. Everything is, I'm going to send you a text message when I want you to pick me up, instead of picking up the phone and calling and saying, hey, daddy, I'm ready. So you kind of, I agree with you, Carol. Yeah, I think so.
You know, it's funny that you talk about your grandmother saying, let me sleep on it. And I'm sure one of the things that she was doing before she slept on it was she was probably praying about it.
Yeah.
And yeah. I can tell you, one time, this is years ago, I had posted on my Facebook where I said, hey, what if you praying is not actually God doing whatever it is you're asking, but it's actually you affirming what it is that you want. And you have now aligned your internal resources and your internal energy to go and get what it is that you want. So I know some people talk about what's the concept, the secret, and what's that whole concept that they talk about?
Law of attraction.
The law of attraction, right?
Oh, okay, yeah, law of attraction.
So it's almost like a law of attraction type sequence, right? So in me saying that, it's like, hey, you're actually affirming what you want, and that aligned you because, in my opinion, the creator gave you everything that you needed to manifest the things that you want, right? So kneeling down to pray, to me, is really your affirmation of what it is that you want. And most people don't pray in you know, you're not praying listening to Jeezy or listening to Future. You know, it's quiet. You're normally silent, and you get in contact with that internal voice. Now, unfortunately, that person came back at me and said, oh, I had an elder person come at me and say, in reference to that post, oh, you should never question God. And my thing was, is that, hey, you're misguided and you're misunderstanding. I'm not questioning God. I'm questioning whether you understand your relationship with God. And more so, do you understand your internal being and the power that you have within yourself? That person unfriended me right away, right? And that goes back to the external influences, because that person probably had just heard, oh, if you want something, you got to pray to God and ask God for it.
Right.
When you probably have what it takes to go out there and get it. And I think somebody posted something this week in our group about a Oprah link. And I think in the end of that interview, Oprah says, hey, it's there for you to have. God is just waiting for you to take action on going to get it. It's already there for you.
Exactly. That's where you get it. You know, us being human and having that free will, you know, you have the opportunity to make a plethora of different decisions as you walk through life, whether you're following the footsteps of your creator or the universal God, or you decide to stray off of the track. At the end of the day, you know, you decide where you're going to go. You know, it may have been laid out for you, the creator or the universal God, or however you look at it, may know already, or may see the different scenarios, but you ultimately have to live your life.
Right. And look, I don't want to turn off any listeners out there that, you know, maybe you're an atheist or you don't have that much faith in God. Understand what it is that we just said. You don't have to go to church every Sunday. You don't have to read the Bible every day in order to get the things that you want and to be the person that you are. I strongly encourage you, hey, if that's what you do, then that's fine, because that's what your internal mechanism is driving you towards. But understand that you have what it is you need to be your best self and to bring out who you are. Again, you are the one, so you are responsible for your life and what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. You got everything from birth. You just got to make sure that you focus on it and that you build on it. There's nothing that you need that you don't have. It's just the wants that get you kind of throwing it all crazy. Because you're like, I want this, I want that, I want this, and that's not what you're supposed to have. And you get caught in a rut. You start trying to go after things that aren't for you. It's just for what you believe society is telling you that you're supposed to have. And you get way off track.
Right. And to go back to what Faison was saying earlier, and maybe he was going to jump in and say this now. We're not telling you that at some point you won't need the help of someone else or you won't need the guidance of someone else. But that should be a supplement to what it is you're trying to do. That should be a supplement to the choices that you make. That shouldn't be the driving factor and the main reason why you choose to do what you do because of what somebody else said or how somebody else guided you.
Uh-huh. Yep, you got it right on the head, Kay. You know, the funny thing that makes me kind of laugh is that, you know, I have a revolving jukebox in my head that just plays music. And sometimes, I don't know why these songs pop in, but I was just happening listening to, in my head, of course, listening to Tupac's Dear Mama. And he said in that song, I thought we had it rough, we always had enough. And that's something you think about, that, you know, when Mike said that the wants, you always want more and more, but when you look back at what you actually had and how things were, you actually had enough. But you decided to diverge off that path. And if you just stay where you were mentally, get stronger, but the wants and the needs, you know, you see things outside, people want this, and the Joneses always want to do more. But if you just stay with yourself and you focus on what you need to do for you, you be successful way beyond where you are because you stay true to yourself. So it's just some of those small things that kick in, but you never know why your head plays music, plays these things and tells you stuff. But going back to your subconscious, it tells you things and you got to listen, you listen to it or not, but you pull that information in and you can either discard it or you can roll with it. And it just hit me back right now. Like it literally just all came back to a full flash. It was like, wow, this is happening like 4 days ago in my head.
Right. So
and you get the needs. You don't get the wants. Like the wants kind of come along with it, but you get the needs when you're supposed to have them. Regardless if you are moving forward, that's the part where you really got to stay quiet. So if you don't need it at that time, it's not coming because you don't need it. So why would I give you something that you don't need at the inappropriate time? That's what you got to be able to listen to. And that's what you got to be calm about. People get excited because, you know, I want this car. I want that. For what? You got a car, you're getting back and forth to work. What difference does it make? Focus on something else. And you can see people that are more comfortable. I always say, like, you're comfortable in your own skin because you understand your needs are basic needs. It's love, it's family, it's shelter, it's food. It's not a Range Rover. It's not an island vacation. It's not $1 million job because you may not need $1 million that you need to do in your life. You may need $30,000, so take the job and keep moving because it allows you peace of mind to spend time with your kids, to spend time with your family. You never know what circumstances may change in your life that will allow you to go to a particular place. So I think about a lady that I met, and she lost her job, and a month later, her mom got sick. So she was able to take care of her mom because she had lost her job. But at the time she lost her job, she was freaking out. And she had no idea that a month later, your mom's sick and you're going to need to be there. And if you hadn't been there with your mom, you would have got fired anyway. So keep moving.
There you go.
So I want to switch directions a little bit, man. I don't want to beat up on the person that may be in a more difficult position in life. You know, we've been talking a lot about people who may need that motivation to, you know, get to a higher place starting from a lower one. So I want to talk about the more successful person or the hardworking, driven person, because in listening, going back to Viola Davis and her Oscar award winning speech, she, I guess after the show, she hit on something that resonated with me, and I didn't even realize that I have struggled with this in the past, but it's just been so minute. I never gave it the time of day or the attention. Something called imposter syndrome. And, you know, when they explain it, they talk about imposter syndrome being, you know, it affects, you know, the more ambitious person or the more successful person in a way that they don't give themselves the credit for the accomplishments that they have had. So that internal voice is telling them that, oh my God, I'm really not this great, or they're going to find out that I am not as good as I kind of seem to be on the outside. So I want to talk about that a little bit because, you know, with me, and I like I said, I didn't realize it until after they talked about it in the post-award interview. When I would run, when I was running track in high school and a little bit in college as well, there was always a short time frame in between when the gun went off and like right after I finished warming up. Because when I'm warming up, like I'm listening to my hype music, I got my headphones on, you know, and I've seen great levels of success. Like I've seen championships, I've competed with some of the best, I've beat people, I've lost to some people, but it's like a 30 second or a 10 minute time interval, I'm sorry, between that where I'm like, dang, you know, can I actually get with this person on the line, you know, right before that gun goes off? And I kind of like almost cut my head off, or actually cut my feet off before the gun goes off, just telling myself that. But in the end, I kind of just come out of it. And I'm like, I look at my accomplishments. My coaches are kind of in the back of my mind, and they're telling me like, yes, you can do this. You've done it before. Why are you feeling this apprehension now? And I think that might just be a natural feeling, but we may not necessarily see it so much in the beginning. But knowing it and understanding it I feel is the first step of overcoming it. So when you do feel it, you can be like, oh no, I'm good. I'm actually here for a reason.
The crazy thing, thinking about it, and you guys will get to know me as you're listening to this podcast and listening to me over the years to come. I love entertainment. I love movies, love music. But when you said that, Brad, about you getting online, I just literally visualized and focused on you just breathing, the gun going off, and all you heard was your breath and the steps of your feet. You couldn't hear anything else around you, but what made you say, I can do this is because you heard doom, 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 and your heart and your breathing going, and that's what you heard until the end of the race. And once the race is over, you then now can hear and see everything around you. And that focus made you say, I can beat them. Or if you look around them and you saw, you heard sounds, then you fell behind that person because now you're focusing on their sound versus your sound. So I ran track, ran a 4x4. I know exactly what that mindset is, but you focus on you and you think, wow, I'm really far ahead, or you focus on someone else and you're trying to play catch up the whole time. Mm-hmm. So it was just great that you said that, and that just made me think about the actual visual concept of you running on the track.
Yeah, man, it was
great. Yeah.
And I heard Viola talk about it, and her still feeling that to this day, and she just won, you know, the highest honor, I believe, as an actress. Mm-hmm. But to hear somebody on that level kind of still say that they have struggled with this or continue to struggle with it today, it makes it that much realer. So for us, quote unquote, regular people, you know, that feeling, that apprehension, it's normal. But as you said, what I did was I went back inside. So like I looked for my own, you know, motivation, and I started, you know, feeling my own self. And when that gun went off, you know, it was like, it snap out of it, and you're right, that first 8 steps, that first hurdle, boom, next 3 steps, boom, and then it's tunnel vision after that. I'm off to the races.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. You know, it was funny that you mentioned tunnel vision, because we've referenced tunnel vision in last season's podcast, and some people look at that as a negative. But when you get so focused on what it is that you are doing and what it is that you're trying to perform in, that is exactly what happens. And it's not just on the track. So I ran a little bit of track too. I know exactly what you guys are talking about. But I can tell you that every time I get up to speak, yeah, there is a part where it's just like, okay, am I going to deliver today? Am I going to impact the audience the way that I would like to? And you get that on the stage. And then there are times where I've done my thing, I get off the stage and I have to ask you guys, hey, how did that go? Because I have no idea.
You're right. You don't because get that, I don't think from the audience or whatever the case may be.
Well, no, the audience might be giving me feedback, but guess what? I have blacked out the audience.
Ah, gotcha.
Yep.
Yeah. I walk in there and there's 150 people, there's 200 people. But once I start going, I'm just doing my thing. And that's it. You're not even there anymore. And what's funny about it is that when you go back and look at video, you will see where I actually made eye contact with somebody, or I fed off of somebody's energy, but I don't really know it.
Because you're so in the moment.
Because I'm so in the moment. And the reason why I do that is because I can't risk that I've got all this great positive energy going, and I make contact with you and your energy is not on that same wavelength, and now you change the way I'm delivering my message.
Yeah.
So again, it's one of those things where you have to block out the external noise to really get in groove with who you are. I am the one. We're going to continue to say that, because you are the one, and there is something that you need to deliver. And the only way that you're going to get in contact with that, and that's kind of where this podcast is going, is you need to spend that quiet time with yourself to really understand who you are.
Right, man. You got to self-manage. You know, this whole podcast has been dedicated toward you looking inside. You know, listen to yourself, but you have to self-manage. You have to tell yourself, yes, I can do this. Yes, I can go be great. Yes, I am the one. And start doing what it takes to realize that. So whether it's, you know, 5 minutes a day, you sit there and listen to yourself breathe, as Carol stated, finding what your meditation points will be, or just getting that quiet time to reflect so that you can filter the noise, get that inside voice to be much louder than those external experiences that are guiding and pointing you in directions that you may not necessarily want to go in.
Mm-hmm.
Jay.
Yep.
You've been real quiet today, man.
What's going on, man? No, I was just
I feel like we in class and we've been up here, you know what I'm saying, dropping bombs, and Jay's like,
no, going back to the imposter syndrome.
His eyes would get big. He'd be like, yeah, man, y'all you might actually know what y'all talking about. I think I did, man.
Going back to the imposter syndrome, I think, like on the video, it said it's a form of humbling yourself. Right. And, like, that's what people think they need to humble themselves because they don't want to get too big-headed. And I think that that's great. You definitely want to humble yourself, but you have to understand, are you humbling yourself or are you putting yourself down? Are you not allowing yourself to shine brightly because you're afraid of, oh, I don't want people to think that I'm arrogant. I don't want people to think that I feel like I'm bigger than I am. And that could be, I mean, like it's a good skill to do, to humble yourself, but it can be detrimental to your success because if you don't allow yourself to shine brightly, how can others appreciate your shine? How can others help you to shine because it seems like you don't necessarily believe in yourself. So if people you don't allow yourself to believe in you, you can't encourage other people to believe in you as well. So you have to know within yourself that I am great, I am phenomenal, but at the same time, know that it was a gift. You know what I mean? Like I didn't just produce this myself. It was a gift given and appreciated as that and move forward in that sense.
Mm-hmm. There's a certain level of bravado, confidence. Some people call it cockiness, arrogance. But once you have reached to a point where you've mastered your craft, it is almost impossible to not give that off. And there's really not that there's something wrong with that, but that just tells you how many other people that are out there that have not reached that mastery level, who they are and what it is that they're trying to do. So now they have to kind of tell you, oh, you're arrogant or you're cocky because just your action and your delivery or you producing what it is that you do makes them feel insecure. So again, we get back to another reason as to why you're going to have to block out the external voices sometimes, because it's going to keep you from reaching that mountaintop, that glory, that state of mastery.
Man, I'm a
lot of people.
And then I'm going to throw it to Jay, and I'm going to throw it to Mike, and then I'm going to let Carol close the show. But I like that y'all use that word arrogance, man. I have a quote. It was given to me in high school, and you know, I've lived with it since. But arrogance is a term used by those who cannot discern themselves with the confidence, the immense confidence of a man who knows he has no limits. Like Carol mentioned, when you reach a certain level, it is impossible not to walk around knowing that you can do what you know you can do. So that arrogance, that confidence, you know, not to be conceited or a quote unquote cocky, it's just, you know, you are capable of what you know you're capable of, and no one can take that from you. So get to that point so that you can get that arrogance in life. So I'm gonna go to Jay, then Mike, and then Carol. You got it.
Yeah, I was talking to my dad one time, and he was telling me, like, arrogance is not necessarily a negative thing. I mean, it's been given that negative rep, but it's not necessarily a negative thing. Like, it's arrogant to think that you can get behind a 2,000-pound vehicle and drive, you know what I mean, drive it around and not hurt anybody and get to that place that you're trying to get to safely. It's arrogant to even believe that you can make a pot of coffee, you know what I mean, because at one point you didn't necessarily have the capability of doing that. So you get to a point and you do it so naturally now, it's like autopilot. You know, you arrogantly believe that I know I can do this. And that's going back to what Carol said, when you reach a place where you know that you know that you know that you can do this, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with knowing that. It's when you put other people down around you, maybe because they haven't reached that level. Obviously that's negative, but when you know that you're good enough to do it, then that's perfectly fine. And I think that we should embrace that rather than reject or run from it.
Yeah, I always think about that in terms of respect. Like, the arrogance is you don't have the respect for others and you don't have the respect for the process that it took you to get to it, because you think it was all you and nobody else helped you, even to the point where it's like not your inner self, like you didn't have to work for it. But when you're confident about your abilities and you have the respect that these are things that I put the work in order to do. So therefore, I can teach you how to do it, and I can get you to a place. And there's the different tone in your comments. There's a different tone in your instruction, because you need to respect the way that you go about to get it. So I'm going to show you the steps in order to get here. It's not, all right, well, I got this. And I mean, you become braggadocious and you start, you know, getting to a certain level to where you really don't appreciate the mindset of others. You don't appreciate the hard work that you had to put in. Like, you just woke up in the morning and now all of a sudden you can make 50 out of 50 half course. It ain't like that. Like, you got to go through a process. So the arrogance and confidence are the exact same thing. It's the way that the individual portrays it in terms of the perception that is perceived by everybody else.
I don't think we can talk about Viola without talking about Denzel. And recently Denzel was in an interview and he was talking about the price of too much information. And we don't really understand what that is. So he was really talking about cell phones and how much access you have to other things and information that you can get immediately, and how people can't, like, you can't even eat dinner without putting down that phone. So what is the price of too much information? The more information that's available to you, are the more voices out there influencing you on what direction you're going. Or in a lot of cases, some people are just sitting still because of how much information there is. You know, there's 100 different methods and opinions on what's the best workout for you to get in shape. There are 100 different opinions on what's the best way for you to save money and to become wealthy. There are 100 different opinions on the best way for you to be in a relationship and to have a great marriage. What I will tell you is that if you take the key takeaway today of spending that time by yourself, or maybe if you're married, it's you and your significant other, your wife, your spouse, your husband, sitting down together and having that moment of silence. But you really want to spend that moment of silence so that you can get in tune with the frequency that is best suited for you, which that's going to be dictated by your internal voice. And then by discovering your internal voice and what it is and where you want to go, you will then naturally gravitate to that information that's out there that's for you, that's going to help you get where you want to go. So a lot of time we've done podcasts and the feedback is, well, you know, you guys had great content, great information, but we didn't really get any takeaways. Your takeaway from this podcast is challenge yourself to spend that time by yourself. We say start small, whether it be 1 minute, 2 minutes. Speaking of the information out there, there are many things on YouTube. There's many things that you will find on Google that will help you find how you can meditate and find that time by yourself. And hopefully that will help you start to build on the I'm the one concept and realizing that your best life is already there. The seed is there within you. You just have to give that seed the watering, the nutrition. You have to plant that seed in the soil and enrich the soil for that seed to grow to be the best it can be.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. You can also, you know, go to the library if, you know, you can't get to Google or a phone or something of that nature.
Mike G.
But that's it. Thank you all for listening, fellas. Great show. Definitely subscribe to the podcast and leave us comments, man. Leave us comments. Tell us how we doing. Tell us what you want us to talk about. You know, you can shoot us an email, fly@flegology.com. You can subscribe to us on Blog Talk Radio. That's where we're hosted. You can listen at Google Play, the iTunes Store, Stitcher, Overcast, TuneIn, wherever you're listening to your podcast and you're getting your motivation. Add us to the list. You can get there with us as well. So get to the leap, grow, fly. Go be great. I'm the one. Fellas, great show. And there it is. We done here on the 13th floor, where the furniture isn't always the best, but the views are amazing.
Amazing.
Views are amazing.
Now is your time to flex.